This is President Barack Obama.
Oh.
And you're listening to Atomicast.
Oh, honey.
With your hosts, Tim and Shay.
Oh, honey, please. Oh, honey, please don't.
Hello.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Atomicast. I'm Tim.
Oh, honey, I'm Shay.
This is the Atomicast show.
Yes, the Atomicast show.
Absolutely. Yeah. We broadcast live on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock Central.
Yes, we do.
Do the math yourself. I'm too fucking... I can't do that.
The math?
The math.
What
Holy
math?
Holy shit. You hear that?
Yeah, I do.
To adjust the time to your time zone, my friend.
Oh, them.
Yeah. Seven. The listeners.
Yes. 8 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Western.
Pacific.
10 o'clock Eastern.
Pacific is
Yeah. Holy shit. Look behind you. I know I'm breaking up the show here, but... It's coming down pretty good.
Yeah, you've got the good view over there.
Yeah, so you might hear some noise in the background, and it is currently storming here in Peoria, Illinois, but it looks awesome, and Tim and I love storms, so we're saying, fuck it, we're going to leave the garage door open, the bar door open.
Yes, thank you. Bar door open, yep. And enjoy the weather. So, yeah, you'll hear some ambiance, some wind, some rain, some...
You know what? It doesn't bother us. It shouldn't bother you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, man, just enjoy it.
But you cut me off, Shay.
Oh.
We broadcast live on radio.atomicast.com. That's where you can also find classic episodes of Atomicast.
Yep.
Also, Radio Vegas Rocks.
Hey, Tim, how do they email the show?
Atomicast1@gmail.com. Shay, what's the voicemail?
831.
Nope.
832-819-3867.
That's it.
That's 832-819.
Dump.
Oh, yeah.
Social media stuff?
Atomicast.com.
Shay, where the fuck were you last week? You fucking bitch.
I know. I was
leaving me all by myself with the two Bryans.
I know.
Hold down the fort.
I listened to you guys and I was really disappointed.
Why?
Oh, it's just you guys. It's not a show without me.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
No, it was good. I listened to it. I was on vacation. I was in Montana last week, so I did miss the show. I was going to try to call in and leave a voicemail, but I have Sprint, and you don't get Sprint once you leave Iowa.
Yeah, once you're in Montana. Well,
South Dakota.
Nothing fucking works in Montana, dude.
Well, it's South Dakota, Wyoming. You go west of like Sioux Falls in South Dakota.
But weren't you in Wyoming or in Montana? Isn't that where you spent the majority of your time?
Yeah, but when I was going to call and leave a voicemail, my service was gone.
Right.
So I couldn't. But I did listen to the show, and it was a fun show.
Yeah.
You know?
It had its moments.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
I take full credit for the good parts.
Okay. Well, I would hope so, because
Wolford and Polk fucked up the rest of it. Oh, those fucking assholes.
You know, the only thing I do want to complain about is Polk.
What about him?
We should never have him on the show again. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He just didn't add anything. It was just, we could have done without him.
I'll tell him that.
I'm sure he'll hear it.
I'll tweet it at him.
Nah, I'm joking.
That fucking Polk.
Nah, I'm joking. Polk was good. It was good. I liked it.
So tell me about Montana.
Oh, man. Okay, so I got a list.
Okay.
Because it was, you know, it was a pretty, wow.
Jesus, this is going to be just a fucking show full of atmosphere. I hope it's not too distracting.
Yeah, hopefully not.
I'm getting rain on my back, Shay.
It's coming in. Yeah. You're going to get wet.
All right. That's what she said.
Boom. Okay. So I got a couple of things here on my list. Because a lot happened. I mean, it was a week.
Yeah.
So, trip starts off Tuesday morning. We leave about 6 a.m., drive to Iowa. About 7:30, we're hungry. We stop at in Davenport, Iowa, at a restaurant called The Machine Shed in Davenport, Iowa.
Right.
We eat breakfast, go back out to the car. I'm getting something in the back seat. I have to fart. I push it out.
You shit your pants.
I shit my pants.
Barely made it out of Illinois, Shay. And you're shitting your pants. Great.
That was the first time I've shat my pants in 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. So it sucks because, like, I used to be able to say, what, shit my pants? I haven't done that since I'm 20.
Yeah.
Now I have to say, shit your pants? I haven't done that since I'm 30.
Since last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So I shit my pants, which was funny as shit. I was just standing there and all of a sudden, oh my God, it was wet. So I had to go in the bathroom, clean that up, take care of that. And then, so we're on the road and we're driving and we get into South Dakota.
Yeah.
And Sioux Falls is one of my favorite cities. I just love that city.
Yeah.
So we're driving, and all of a sudden, a cop pulls us over. Because the speed limit changed, and we didn't see the sign. So we were doing about 78 and 65.
Yeah.
Pulls us over. Normal thing, you know. It's just me and my friend Brett in the car. He comes up to the car, and he's really apprehensive about walking up to it. He's just being weird from the start. And so he's talking to Brett and like asking him, you know, why he's going so fast, where we're going, if this is our car. He says, no, it's my mom's car. You know, they retired to Montana. We're driving it out there. He's like, you know, it's a little windy out here. Do you mind coming back to my car with me? He had all of Brett's information, everything he needed to write a ticket. Mm-hmm. But it's a cop. You don't say no. We had nothing to hide.
Right.
So he goes back to the car. About 10 minutes later, he comes up to the cop comes up to the car, up to my side. And he's like, hey, do you can I see your ID? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure.
Why did he need your ID?
So
you're just sitting there.
Well, he asked me to step out of the car.
Yeah.
And he was trying to like bullshit with me and pretend like he was my friend. And then like he's like, you know, your buddy gave me permission to search the car. I'm going to search it for narcotics or anything illegal. I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, can you please step out of the car and go stand in front of the car on the other side of the cop car? And so he searches the car, and he does just the absolute worst job of searching. He looked in like the center console, and then he opened up like one bag.
Right.
Gave me my ID back. Didn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. Just gave it back to me, and then said I can go ahead and get back in the car.
Right.
Well, then, you know, Brett comes back. He has his ticket. And he said the cop, Brett was sitting in a cop car, and the cop was asking him questions. And the cop was like, you know, you look pretty nervous. I can see your...
carotid artery?
Yes, carotid. He was like, I can see your carotid artery just thumping. And it's like, dude, you ask him to come back to a cop and sit in the cop car for no reason.
Right.
And you're grilling him. Brett said he was just absolutely grilling him, and he was getting a little nervous about it. I was like, why? I don't understand what's happening. And so the cop was clearly doing that to have a reason to search the car.
Right.
And I think he was hoping that he would fucking find a bunch of drugs just laying out in the car. Because right. he didn't search for shit.
Right.
So anyway, that was an adventure. We got...
Well, I wonder if part of it, too, I wonder if Brett would have said, like, no, man, you can't search the car.
Well, that gives you, like, suspicion. And there's a...
Yeah.
The thing with that is, like, how is that not a reason to search the car? Like, can't a cop use that as suspicion or a...
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. You can at least, at that point, get a one of those drug dogs.
Yeah.
You know, one of the sniffing dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
But I wonder if just the fact that you were both just like, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if that made him just, you know, kind of realize like, oh, hey, these guys ain't got shit.
Yeah, maybe.
Just move on, you know?
Maybe. Oh, he was just, I didn't like the way that cop handled things because he was trying to be nice, but he was definitely a dick.
Yeah.
And it's not...
been bored.
And it's not just because he pulled us over. Brett was speeding. I get it.
Yeah.
But just, it was weird. So anyway.
Well, I'm sure you guys look like assholes. Brett certainly looks like an asshole.
Yeah, he does.
and you're driving a super fancy, nice car.
It was a Jeep.
You smelled of shit.
Well,
you had just shit your pants hours before.
Yeah, that's true.
He probably thought that there was that you were drug dealers or something. That's how you could afford that.
I didn't think about that.
People that shit their pants don't often buy fancy cars.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You are correct.
I'm on the cop side.
Of course you are.
Yep.
You dick.
I'm the man, dude.
And then, okay, so then we drive. We make it to Rapid City for the night. And we get there. And it's a nice day. We get there. We go in. We go to Mount Rushmore. And then we go eat dinner. As soon as we sit down for dinner, it just starts fucking pounding rain.
Mm.
Like, just crazy. It's
not like tonight.
Yeah, it was exactly like tonight. And we parked, you know, a few blocks down because we weren't sure where we were going to eat. So we get done eating. It's still pouring. We ended up buying garbage bags from the restaurant to wear.
Yeah.
Like fucking homeless people.
It's a poncho, dude. It's a homemade poncho. DIY.
It was. But anyway, then we went to... we got into Montana, drove through Yellowstone. I've never seen that before, so now I've seen it. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Saw thousands of buffalo.
Did you see Yogi Bear?
No, dude. That was the one thing.
Hey, boo-boo.
The entire trip, we were like, we want to see a bear.
Yeah.
Preferably while we're in Yellowstone in the car.
Wearing a tie.
Ideally.
Stealing picnic baskets.
We were making a lot of Yogi Bear jokes. But yeah, we never saw a bear. Never saw the bear. But
bummer.
Then spent 5 days or so in Hamilton, Montana, which is just a nice area. Went to some cool breweries. You'd be proud of me, Tim.
Yeah, tried some stouts.
Stout
it up, dude. You got to stout it up.
I didn't try any stouts. But no. I did drink some brown ales.
Yeah.
Some wheat ales, which I do.
Yeah.
A couple of honey ales. I had a wine beer, mm-hmm. which is weird. But it was at Big Sky Brewery.
Yeah.
And it was funny because it's this little brewery in Missoula, Montana, which is, there's 80,000 people in the city. Mm-hmm. And they have all these huge acts coming to the brewery. Primus is going.
Shit.
Big bands. So our buddy John, who's been on the show before.
They were a big band like 30 years ago.
Yeah, but
20 years ago.
Yeah, I guess to me, they still seem like a big band because they were back then.
Yeah. It's like vanilla ice showing up there. It's not really that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right. But I sent the picture of all the acts coming up to our friend John.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's funny that, you know, all these big acts are coming here to this obscure little brewery in Montana. And he was like, well, for what it's worth, it's actually a pretty well-known brewery.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it, I drink Bud Light, so I don't know these things.
Right.
But anyway, drink some good beer. Looked at the most beautiful mountains in the world and
came back. Your nature, dude.
Dude, it's my...
Love your nature.
Oh my God, I'm retiring there, 100%.
Really? To Montana?
Fucking A.
Dude.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh yeah.
Miami.
Nope. Too hot.
I don't know why.
Nope. There's no humidity in Montana, man.
Yeah.
No bugs.
I don't know where I'll go. Not Montana. I don't give a shit about the wilderness and stuff. I just want to live in a nice neighborhood where people are nice and white.
You'll retire in Brimfield.
Yeah, maybe.
You'll buy your dad's house in Brimfield.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll buy my dad's new house. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
So you had fun.
I don't often take actual vacations. Yeah. Usually, you know, if I go somewhere, I always have my work laptop and I'm working.
Right.
The last real vacation I took where I wasn't working was when I went to Ireland 2.5 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, it was really nice. It reset my brain, came back relaxed, in a good mood, just happy to be alive.
That is the whole point of a vacation.
You know, it worked.
So it did its job.
It did.
Well done,
it
vacation.
Was great. Yep. It was fantastic.
Well done.
But, you know, so... One weird thing about the show, which I was thinking about earlier,
yeah,
is that this is the first show that we've done yet, or so far, where you actually don't know what went on with me in the past week, because we weren't talking every day.
That's right.
Where we usually sit there and we're working and we work from home, we just, you know, text each other all day.
Yeah.
On the computer. We didn't do that. You don't know what the... I didn't tell you I shit my pants.
No,
until
I didn't
just
know.
Now,
I didn't need to know either.
That happened
That's
8 days
one of those
ago.
Things that you know, some things are best left to mystery.
I hope if you shit your pants, you'll tell me because I think that will be hilarious.
I won't.
When was the last time you shat yourself?
I mean, I'm a child. I was a child. I can't
really
remember a time. Yeah,
you weren't sick or anything, and
I mean, I've certainly had close calls. I can't remember a time when poop has gotten onto my underwear.
Yeah.
Except for, like, skid marks.
What? I mean, not
which
even just...
Which is a daily occurrence. Well, every day I get skid marks.
You need to wipe... Use the wet wipes, man.
Every day.
Wet wipes.
I'm on a septic tank, bro. I can't flush wet wipes.
Wet wipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sucks for you, dude.
Yeah.
You have shitty underwear all the time.
We taught my 2-year-old daughter what skid marks are, because she sometimes has them now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
She thinks it's pretty funny. Well, I didn't have as eventful a week as you, Shay, but
yeah.
My wife and my daughter, just the schedules aligned perfectly.
Yep.
There was shit that I wasn't invited to, mm-hmm. and then shit that I didn't want to go to, mm-hmm. all in the same weekend. So my wife took my kid, and I had from Friday afternoon to Sunday evening all to myself.
You know, that was probably more of a vacation than I had.
Oh, Jesus, dude. It was the best.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love my wife, and I love my kid, but when you... When you have time away from them, it's just the best thing in the world.
I believe it.
Yeah, so I went out with Wolford on Friday. You were gone, so I had to get my substitute, my Shea
Old
substitute
Chicago.
In.
Yep. Old Chicago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hung out with Wolford, had a couple beers, had some nachos.
Yeah, with pepperoncinis.
Yep. Saturday, got lunchtime drunk with Johnny, had margaritas.
Oh, yeah.
Came home, took a nap. Buddy came over, he had bourbon on Saturday night.
You don't even nap.
I know, but I was just after the lunchtime drunk, dude, and it was a quiet house, and I was like, I could watch an old episode of X-Files, or I could take a nap. I fucking took that nap, dude, and it was great. Yeah. Sunday, my wife had a list of, like, 3 things that she needed me to do while she was gone, so I, of course, waited until Sunday afternoon to do them.
Yeah, sure, of course.
But, you know, part of it, I'm 35, and I've been eating really healthy. And I swear to Christ, my body just fucking hated me for what I did to it in those couple of days. I had Chipotle, a huge Chipotle burrito.
Oh, yeah.
For lunch.
Yep.
Had a steak dinner. Went out with Wolford, had beers and nachos. Mm-hmm. A big old steak burrito again on Saturday with margaritas.
Yep.
Chips and salsa.
Okay.
And I even forget what I did for dinner. I think I went through the drive-thru Taco Bell. Dude, it was just Mexican. All up Mexican in this.
Jesus.
Weekend.
Yeah.
And my body was just like, you know, after eating, and I didn't work out, like, not even once, even though I totally could have. It would have been really easy to get to the gym.
Yeah,
I just didn't.
You're on vacation.
Yeah. But on Sunday, I was just like fucking hating myself.
Yeah.
It was just, ugh.
See, and before the show, you and I were talking about how if you didn't have a woman, you'd probably be like that all the time.
Yeah. Or,
and a daughter.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I don't think you would be, because you felt that way and you were just like, oh, I can't do this.
But when you... I feel like when you eat fast food every day, it doesn't affect you in the way that it does if you're kind of eating healthier for a while.
You know, I don't remember ever eating fast food every day, so I don't know. I don't know how that... I would imagine, though, it wouldn't. Because, you know, and this is just an extreme example. That documentary, Morgan Spurlock. What was
that?
Yeah,
Supersize Me.
Yeah. He ate fast food every day.
Right.
And
he got real low energy, real lethargic.
Just felt terrible.
Yeah.
And like he had to stop.
But he was super healthy going into it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you have this like baseline of health.
Yep.
Then that's how it feels. But if you're just sort of generally a fucking gross person.
Yep.
I wonder if you even notice.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak to that necessarily, but I just wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly eaten shittier and not felt like shit like that, you know? So, well, who knows?
I don't know. You never know. Yeah. I guess try and find out.
What's weird is on that Sunday, I was like, I'm so glad I fucking overdid it because I'm done eating like shit. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And then today it's Wednesday, just like 3 days later, I'm like, I really want Chipotle again. Like, I really fucking want it, and I want to get drunk, and I want to have Chipotle.
It's like drinking, dude. You get really drunk, you swear you're never drinking again.
And 4 days later, it's like, yeah, I could get drunk again.
Yeah, you're like, I really do want to drink.
I know. In my early to mid-20s, I swore off alcohol, I don't know, 50 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It never lasted more than a week.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, that's normal, I think.
I guess, but I'm back on the diet train, and it sucks.
Good for you. You know, you can just... You got the weight loss competition.
Oh, yeah.
You could just...
It's not even a competition anymore,
man. You could just stop eating, or stop eating healthy.
I know. No, I'm just trying to do it for myself.
Yeah.
Fuck Wolford. I've already beat him. It don't matter.
Yeah, there's no chance. You only have 3 months left. There's no way you're going to lose this.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So you get to go on.
Watch out, Drunken Zombie.
Yeah, you get to go
I'm
on.
For you.
You get to go on the Drunken Zombie podcast and just berate the living shit
out of Wolford. Yes. I think I'll leave the other guys alone.
Yeah.
Because 4 against 1, they could probably take me out. 1-on-1, though, dude.
Yeah.
I'd stomp all of them.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. No question. Even though they watch their wrestling and they know some moves, I'm spry.
I don't think they are.
No, I don't think they are.
No.
Anyway, what should we do now, Shay? I have a mystery.
You know, I do have, real quick.
Oh, yeah, we gotta do this.
Wait,
that's tradition.
So I'm drinking Diet Pepsi.
Yeah. I chugged 2 bottles of water for some reason. I didn't know how thirsty I was.
And
I
now it's raining and you have to pee really bad.
I don't, actually. No. I must have been dehydrated or something. Yeah. I took a sip or two of water and I'm like, holy shit, that tastes delicious.
Yeah.
And then I just chugged 2 full bottles in like 20 minutes.
Neither one. We both got our fill of drinking over the past week and we're both trying to
Oh, no, a beer sounds excellent, especially in this weather.
Oh,
I would love to have a beer.
I earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Right before I left my house, I was like, you know what? Right now I could really go for a couple of beers. And I almost grabbed a couple.
Yeah.
And I didn't, because then I was like, no, if I drink a couple, I'll just feel like shit later. And
yeah.
So, it, as good as they feel, we didn't do it. We're not doing it. We're being smart, man.
Being responsive sucks.
I know.
Sucks being a grown-up.
Dude, no shit.
Yeah, but anyway, water and Diet Pepsi, not a very exciting drinking segment.
No, that's why we forgot about it.
Yeah.
It's no longer, it used to be a we get drunk and then do the podcast. We don't do that now.
You fucked it up, Shay.
You know what?
You fucked it up with your sobriety.
My body loves me for it.
And I fucked it up with my dieting.
Yep.
I should have at least done a whiskey. I don't know. Maybe next week I'll do a whiskey.
Okay.
Next week.
Next week I'll have a beer with you.
Okay.
That'll be that.
All right.
So do you want to do the mystery? I have a serial killer thing.
It feels like those two should go together.
Okay.
My mystery is a quickie.
Do the mystery.
Okay. So let me get to it. All right. So there's this thing, Shay. The Yosemite Sam broadcast. Have you heard of this?
No.
You like these creepy broadcasts that are sort of unexplained, but sort of take place in present day. So this is one of them. Yosemite Sam is the nickname that has been given to a mysterious station that was first reported on December 19th, 2004. So this gets kind of intricate, so bear with me here. A transmission is made in one of the frequencies. 10 seconds later, that transmission is repeated on the next higher frequency, and so on. There's four frequencies that this transmission broadcasts on. Each one is approximately 40 seconds. I'm sorry, not approximately. Exactly 40 seconds. And so the entire pattern takes exactly 2 minutes, 120 seconds. They are always start at an offset of second of 7 seconds, such as 10 o'clock and 7 seconds.
Okay.
PM or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing is excellent. It's like it never misses a timing. Huh. Each transmission starts with what sounds like a data burst. So are you aware of what data bursts are in audio? I wasn't until today.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm trying to think of if I don't.
So it sounds like just garbage. Just like a fucking.
Like.
Yeah.
Like a modem, kind of.
Like,
but more jumbled and more noises mixed in.
Yes. Yeah. And super short. So this is only 8 milliseconds.
Okay. Do you have a clip of it?
Yes, I do. Okay. But I'm not going to play it yet.
Okay.
So the data burst is only 8 milliseconds. And so. That, of course, would need to be, like, recorded and then deciphered and decoded and stuff. Nobody knows what that data burst is. But that data burst could be anything. It could be images. It could be text. Huh. It could be anything. The after the data burst, the data burst, there's a phrase, varmint, I'm going to blow you to smithereens.
Okay.
And it's Yosemite Sam that says that. And it's, you know, from Looney Tunes. The clip is from a cartoon called Bunker Hill Benny from 1949.
Okay.
So this went on from December 19th to December 23rd, 2004. And it came back briefly in February of 2005.
Okay.
It's broadcast from somewhere near Albuquerque.
Okay.
So let me play you this little clip of audio here. All right, let's play that again because I'm going to edit that first one out because that was awful.
Okay. And just plays it weird.
It plays that clip repeated on four frequencies, like in succession.
Yeah.
And then starts over.
Huh.
And it did that for a couple of days in December of 2004 and then a couple of days in February of 2005.
Wow.
They found it outside of Albuquerque.
Huh.
What's interesting, Shay?
Yes.
This is a solved mystery.
Oh, okay.
So what it really was, there's absolutely no mystery to it. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
Yosemite Sam was just a test system project. The systems integrator was hired to make a system that would cycle through frequencies, power levels, and modulation schemes. The digital noise at the beginning was simply a header assigned to the end customer that contained the parameters of the individual transmission. So a customer ordered that this program be made.
Yeah.
They were listening to it, and they were deciphering that data burst at the beginning.
Okay.
So we still don't know what the data burst says, but it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah, it's just the company can read it, and they know.
Yeah.
So it's a corporate thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Yosemite Sam voice was just a random payload that the customer supplied to the integrator for testing purposes, and it just seems to be chosen at random. There's not really any particular reason for it, other than probably just some dude found it funny.
Yeah.
The gaps in the date were due to reworking software back at the main office, other customer projects, and of course taking a Christmas break. So it kind of makes sense.
Yep, he's 24th.
He started the project in December. He finished it in February, and he took a couple breaks in the middle.
Makes total sense.
Yep. The developer was a software guy, not a ham radio guy. He had no idea that people were listening in or testing this until somebody pointed him to the Wikipedia page in 2013. So this was a big mystery for nearly 10 years.
Wow.
And then finally this guy was just like, oh, wait, fucking I did that. And I just totally did it at random, and I had no idea what that is. And it turns out it's just fucking nothing. But isn't that this was a big mystery on the internet for 10 years. These people were trying to decipher this data and shit.
You know, you just wonder how many of those audio mystery type things like that are just simple. Things just like that.
They all are. They all are.
You know, there are some, for sure. I'm sure that there are some out there that are just people that are just weird, and they have like some weird purpose for doing these weird things.
Yeah.
Some of them out there, for sure.
Yeah.
But most of them, probably just like this.
Yeah. Just some unfortunately bland explanation to it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I know you like those.
I do. I like
those sort of unsolved audio. So that's.
I know. That was solved.
Although that was a solved one.
But I still, it was good. That was fun.
Next time I'll just leave off the solved part and you can figure it out on your own.
I don't know what kind of theory I'd come up with for that. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist.
No,
you know,
either.
Interesting. So I, out in Montana, my friend Brett, his aunt lives out there now too. So we stayed with her. She was awesome. A lot of fun. But she's a big conspiracy theorist.
Oh, I can't even fucking talk to those people.
So, you know, and she really, she had some government things and blah, blah. And it was,
is she a truther?
She didn't use those words, but probably.
It's like a 9/11 conspiracy person?
I'm sure. We didn't talk about it. But what we did, because the star's out there.
I beat the shit out of her. Can you give me your address? I'm going to go right now.
No, it's on Vicks Lane in Hamilton, Montana.
I'll find her.
So we were standing out on the last night, Sunday night. We were standing out there. It was just me, Brett, and Lori. And we're looking up at the stars. And somebody said something about UFOs. And they started talking about it. I was like, UFOs haven't been here. She's like, I've seen them up in the sky. Like, you can't tell me you haven't seen one because I've seen the lights go back and forth, like, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, she was like, you don't believe in UFOs? I was like, no, I absolutely do. There's trillions of them out there. Trillions of civilizations, for sure. They've never been here. And she was like, how can you not believe that they've been here? I was like, why the fuck would they come here?
Yeah.
What purpose would that serve? How would they get here?
Right.
And she was, you know, and she tried to rebut everything that I said. And I was like, it's just too big. It's just too big for any civilization to ever make it here.
Right.
Because we're some obscure planet that has no value.
Yeah. Tens of thousands of light years away from anywhere
the closest.
Else. Yeah.
You know, and she was like, well, you don't. And they started saying some weird shit like, well, their science doesn't have to be our science, or our science isn't their science. I was like, science is science. Science is universal. Physics is universal through the universe. And it's just like, they just would not accept that it's so big. And yeah, science is science, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And time is still constant. And it's...
The thing about these conspiracy people, it doesn't fucking matter, you know, what you say, Shay. They want... It's like Mulder. They want so desperately to believe they will not listen to reason. It doesn't matter.
And
it,
you know,
best to shrug and say, okay.
Yeah.
Just nod politely and let them be on their way.
And you know what? I was sitting there thinking, you guys are fucking morons.
Yeah.
But and they were sitting there thinking the same thing about me. And I was thinking that throughout the entire thing. And I was like, if we both think each other is fucking morons.
Yeah.
You know, that's just.
The closest I've come to actually confronting somebody. First of all, I had to unfollow somebody on Facebook.
Yeah.
That was a near confrontation. I thought about commenting on one of his stupid shitty posters.
Yeah.
On September 11th, he was putting all these signs all around the city that was like, you know, 9/11's an inside job and shit like that.
Yeah.
I didn't start anything. I just unfriended him or whatever. Yeah. It was a lady I used to work with. Her husband was a truther. And at some, like, one of these work functions, he just got shit-faced drunk and started talking to me about it. And after a while, I was just like, dude, listen, you need to stop talking to me about this. Like, I don't buy it. I think you're full of shit. And if you're going to keep talking about it, I'm going to get really angry.
Yeah.
We just need to stop it.
Uh-huh.
And he did.
Okay.
And so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these people are just out of their minds.
I know. He was sitting there thinking, like, how is this fucking retard not understanding this?
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it's weird how people can...
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not weird. It's like with everything. But,
yeah. I'm sure he went home with not nice things to say about
it. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. They're the ones that... I mean... We will never see a UFO.
Yeah.
Because they've never been here. Maybe in the fucking a billion years, somebody might be here in the solar system. But, I mean, it's still, even to get through the solar system takes, out to Pluto, it takes like 10 years.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope that at some point we find, like, microbes or bacteria or something in the solar system. And I think we could. I think that it's out there in the solar system.
I mean, they're saying Europa and then one of the moons of I think even Pluto.
Yeah, there's several.
Uranus. Yeah.
There's several moons out there that they think have the possibility to have tiny specimens of life.
I absolutely believe. I mean, I don't doubt that all the building blocks for us. I mean, they probably crashed into Earth a couple billion years ago, and they weren't here before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be the same everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it probably is. Could so be. They're definitely out there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
do you want to do Serial Killer now, or should we do it after the song break, since we are right up against the song break?
You know
break.
What? Let's do it after the song break.
Okay.
Because this is we're like right at that 29. That's a good, look at us. We're fucking professionals.
Yeah, that wasn't luck at all.
Yeah.
Totally planned.
So the song break, so... Just a little background. So there's a movie, and I don't know if you've seen it on Reddit or on the internet, Kung Fury.
I've seen it. Every motherfucker in the world is talking about it. I have not watched the movie.
It's so good.
Is it good?
Watch it.
Okay.
It's 30 minutes long. You'll fucking love it.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's amazing. It's one of the most amazing things I've watched. It was really, really good.
That is high praise.
Dude, I'm serious. I bought the thing.
Yeah.
And it's all free on YouTube. I could watch it whenever I want. I bought it.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is the theme song from that movie, and it is by David Hasselhoff.
Nice.
And
of course it is.
It's called True Survivor.
Hey, got a permit for those guns?
I've got your permit right here.
Permit denied.
That was True Survivor by
The Hoff.
The Hoff. There's a funny joke in that. Like a really funny...
In the song?
In the movie that you should watch.
Oh.
It's a really funny, stupid joke that I think you'll find hilarious.
I will look into watching it once I'm done powering through all the fucking X-Files.
Dude.
I should have never started this X-Files
There's too many
thing.
Seasons of a shitty
I know,
show.
But I'm way too in-depth now. I can't stop now.
Yeah. No, you can't. I finally watched True Blood, I tell you that.
Yeah.
The end of it. I finally
Total
watched it.
Total shit show, wasn't
oh,
it?
It's just the worst.
Fucking awful.
What the fuck was that? Oh, my.
I told you to just skip like four
know,
seasons and just
know.
Watch the last episode. No, I couldn't do that either.
Yeah,
so,
same thing with your X-Files. Yeah. You can't just stop.
How do they email the show?
You can email the show at atomiccast1@gmail.com.
Call the voicemail, 832-819-3867. That's 832-819.
Fump.
Social media stuff.
Comicast.com.
But Shay, why in the fucking world would they ever care?
You know, I've been
send us an email.
I've really been thinking about
or call us and leave us a voicemail.
I actually have a legit one this
or
time.
Or tweet at us.
They might want to share their emo pussy stories.
That's right. Yes, that's a legit one. Yeah,
yeah.
Please.
They might actually want to share your emo pussy stories. And we really encourage it because I've told Tim and I told Brian a couple weeks ago, my live journal has been deleted, which for my sake is a good thing because I was a whiny little bitch.
Of course.
That would have been funny, but it's gone. I can't find it. So you all out there, if you're listening, you should absolutely find your old live journal. Send us some good stories of you being an emo pussy.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun. You could also email the show for the normal reasons. You might want some dick pics. You might.
Yep.
Or you just might want advice. I can't think of any other fake ones right now.
Advice is where I was going with that one, Shay. Okay.
Advice questions.
So I have, these are kind of surreal, bizarre ones tonight. I don't know if you've noticed, Shay. I sometimes do themes, and they're sometimes accidental themes.
I've noticed. A lot of them are...
relationships or work,
you know,
or whatever.
A lot. I think relationships are easy because people always want advice on relationships.
Yeah. So this, I tried to get some kind of surreal, bizarre ones.
Uh-huh.
About 7 months ago or so, I was hanging out with four of my friends. We are seniors in high school, looking for something to do. One of my friends suggested we put on blindfolds and walk around. Because what the fuck else do you do when you're a senior in high school?
Were they in Walmart?
I don't know. At this point, I was already a drinker. As a senior. I can't even imagine the urge of like, hey, I've got an idea.
Let's put on blindfolds and walk around.
It's already bizarre.
Okay.
They could only find one bandana, so long story short, I was the one that got blindfolded. It was pitch black, and I couldn't see anything. They picked me up from my arms and legs and carried me around the house at first. It was weird and was getting weirder. Music was playing from one of their phones, and I was constantly disconnecting their voices and fading into the music. The darkness almost made me forget I was there at all. I questioned myself a little bit. Was I really there? Where was I? I started screaming and laughing with absolutely no control. I was shrieking and yelling as hard as I could, honestly not feeling like part of myself. Ever since, I've been feeling odd, constantly questioning reality. Who's real and who's not? Am I in a dream? It's almost like the blindfold triggered something in me, like an existential crisis with strange disconnects from reality. I'm really not feeling strong emotions like I used to. I only do things for myself because I don't care what anyone else thinks. Are there risks of blindfolding yourself? Is there a way I can connect again?
So you started drinking in high school.
Yeah.
This kid did acid.
He started it by saying, I've never smoked or consumed alcohol.
I don't care. That's no, that's so weird.
It is weird.
Like, he's thinking, I mean, maybe.
I think it's a girl.
Okay, maybe she could have, this could have triggered some weird traumatic episode for her.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like kind of what it is, right? A traumatic episode that her brain had a reaction to, and this is the end result. I don't know. I've never heard. I don't know. A blindfold cannot, unless, you know, you have a... You were kidnapped. Maybe she was abused when she was a kid, and she was blindfolded as a child.
Yeah.
No. Unless you have a traumatic experience with the blindfold, it cannot trigger some existential crisis like she's having.
So this is what I think it was.
Yeah.
I think that she is just kind of tripping out about nothing.
Yeah.
And I think she's just a young kid, and she's just exaggerating this shit.
Yeah.
Did you have this phase, like, I don't know if it was a phase, I don't know what to call it exactly, but in high school, but earlier in high school, certainly not when I was a senior, maybe a freshman, sophomore, I would read books about, like, meditation and, like, you know, these books to, like, try to kind
of... Astral projection and shit like that.
Sort of, yeah. To, like, sort of disconnect or sort of, you know, find an inner peace or something. And I swear I, like, had myself convinced that I would have, like, these out-of-body type of experiences and shit. But I was just all up in my head, and I was just a kid and just sort of stupid. And I just wonder if this is what this... girl is doing.
She's a senior in high school. It absolutely is.
Yeah, she's just fucking over exaggerating it. In 2 years, she'll look back at this the way I look back at my live journal posts. Like, what the fuck am I even thinking and doing?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's funny, though.
All right. Last night, my husband confessed to me that he's been having an affair with my dad since February 2010, and now he wants to leave our house in Dallas and move in with my dad in an apartment in Houston. We have two kids, an 8-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter. He said he's thinking of divorcing me and marrying him. He said they've kept the affair secret from me and my mom over the years by pretending they're going out to the bar or to play golf or any number of excuses. He says he isn't gay or bi and that my dad is the only man he fancies.
Yes.
And that has said my dad stated the exact same thing.
They're both of them are lying.
Yeah. So what should this girl do?
Jesus. Normally you'd say, okay, divorce him.
Yeah.
But this is fucking weird.
It's totally weird.
Like, it's your dad.
Yeah.
That the guy needs to realize what that is going to do to his children.
Yeah.
That's an easy fucking, don't do that. Divorce your wife, find some other guy. It's okay if he's gay.
Yeah.
Just not with their grandpa.
Yeah, that's the part that's fucking weird. Like, divorce, yeah, I think divorce is clearly the solution. Obvious. Here. There's nothing there. I'm not sure that this can be salvaged.
Nope.
But just for the sake of keeping the family together and prioritizing your children and stuff, how are they going to explain the grandpa's fucking daddy now? That's fucking so weird. What's Thanksgiving going to be like?
I mean, the family's already ruined. Since everybody but the children know they can never be together again. The wife won't want to be around her dad.
Yeah.
The mom isn't going to want to be around the husband. There's no more family gatherings like this.
Right.
Just the mom and the daughter and the kids. I mean, it's kind of that. And it's already fucked up. You don't do anything but divorce your wife or divorce your husband. Let him go find somebody else who is not your father. You tell your father, do not marry him. I mean,
I hope that the dad... Both dads.
Yeah.
I hope they see that they can... That
God, that's messed up.
Moving on is a better choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping it... Yeah, it's just too weird. It's just too fucking weird. There's no good advice. Sorry. I got nothing. It was just a weird story.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip that one because it's kind of stupid.
Okay.
I'm going to skip that one too. Fuck it, Shay. I got these that I thought were good and I'm skimming them now and I'm like, these suck.
Okay.
Okay, my girlfriend and I are talking about marriage. I have no friends or family while she has a large one. I'm very anxious about telling them I have nobody for my side of the wedding party. I'm in my 30s, but have been kind of a shut-in for about a decade. I have no close friends or family to be in the wedding. Her family is full of very social extroverts, and I feel like they're going to think it's absolutely bizarre that I have nobody for the wedding. I admit it's pretty unusual, and my social abilities are starting to turn around now, but not as fast. Not fast enough that I can build an entire wedding party from scratch. Having a small wedding is not an option. How do I be comfortable with the situation, discuss it with her family, and make it through the day without wanting to die of embarrassment?
You tell them that it's your fucking day, and if you don't have a wedding party, you don't have a wedding party.
Yeah.
Fuck them. Fuck everyone except the two of them in their wedding.
But if the wife wants a lot of her friends and family on her side, you can't have just one side of the wedding party occupied.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no good reason why not.
Yeah, there's not.
Except just tradition, I guess.
Then she can fill that side with people that she knows.
You know, that's sort of what I thought. Yeah. Why doesn't she, if she has so many friends and family, why isn't there some dudes that she can share? Like spouses of their wedding party.
Yeah.
Or, brothers, cousins, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, dad in the wedding party would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my good friends, his best man was his dad. I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, if I get married again, it's probably going to be my dad. Just because there's no drama with that.
Yeah.
You know, you gave me some really good advice last time I got married and told me to make it my brother. Yeah, you told me to make it Drew.
Oh, because everybody does. Everybody makes it the brother.
No. No, because I was debating. I was like, I don't know if it should be you or Brett.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, make it your brother. Make it easy.
Yeah.
And I did that. It was easy.
Yeah.
Nobody can say shit. So if I get married again.
Nobody was offended.
If I get married again, I'll make it my dad. And if I get married again, I'm not going to do any of that stupid shit. That wedding shit. It'll just be a destination something.
Yeah.
Or a courthouse.
Destination. That was the fucking best.
Or a courthouse. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. My wedding party was one dude.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Polk. I don't know. My other ones are shitty.
Skipping them?
Yeah, I'm going to skip them. Let's go on to your celery killer. And if we're really running low on time,
maybe
I'll dive back into my shitty ones.
All right. Well,
or we'll just call it a day early. Whatever, right, dude.
Yeah, we'll see. This might take a few minutes here. So while I was out in Montana, my friend Brett and his dad were talking about this guy, this old mafia hitman, who just the most fucked up ways he'd kill people. And he'd kill them with cyanide and just... whole bunch of weird shit.
Yeah,
I had never heard of this guy.
Okay,
so it made me want to research it. And there are back in 1991, HBO did a documentary on this guy where they interviewed him in prison. Like they had a psychiatrist interview him and shit. Very, very interesting shit. And it's about 2 hours, 12 minutes, I think total. Very interesting if you want to watch it sometime. But his name is Richard Leonard the Iceman Kuklinski.
Okay, that's weird. I've never heard of him.
So, you know what else is... So, they made a movie in 2012 about him called Iceman with... Jesus, I forget the guy's name. But I mean, it was a big movie. It had Winona Ryder in it, and it had Chris Evans, who's
Captain the Human Torch.
No. Oh yeah, he was, wasn't he?
It's weird though that it's named after a superhero.
But he's also Captain America.
Yeah. It's weird though that it's named after a superhero, and it has a superhero in it.
Oh yeah.
Even though it's not really a superhero movie.
I know, right? I started watching it a little earlier, and then I came over here. But anyway, so I'll just kind of start this here. So Richard Kuklinski was an American contract killer who was convicted for 5 murders. Kuklinski was given the nickname Iceman for his method of freezing a victim to mask the time of death.
Ooh.
The 6'5", 300-pound Kuklinski lived with his wife and children in the suburb of Dumont, New Jersey. Prior to his arrest, his family was apparently unaware of Kuklinski's double life and crimes. A New Jersey police task force was formed after Kuklinski was suspected of 2 murders. A year-long undercover investigation led to his arrest. Kuklinski was a contract killer for Newark's Dikla... for 2 mafia families.
There you go.
Oh, man.
So wait, he was only convicted of 5 killings?
Yeah.
And he was a contract killer?
Yeah.
Was he just not very good at his job?
No, he was too good.
So they just...
They could only pin 5 on him.
So... Well, I guess finish, and then I'll ask my question.
Yeah, after his murder convictions, Kuklinski took part in a number of interviews during which he claimed to have murdered from over 100 to 250 men. His recollections varied between 1948 and 1986. 3 documentaries, 2 biographies, and a feature film have been produced on Kuklinski based on his interviews and the results of a task force that brought Kuklinski to justice. His claims have not been substantiated, and crime family members dispute his role in any contract killings. So who the fuck knows? But I mean, dude, the detail that this guy went into, just, it's so fucking creepy. So I have three audio clips, and I feel like these belong to HBO.
Yeah.
We're not making any money off this.
Yeah, but let me ask my question first before you get into this. So if he was pinned for 5 killings.
Yeah.
He's already doing life in jail, right?
Oh, yeah, he was. He was in prison. So that's why he came out and just admitted to all of them.
Yeah. Why can't he just... Why don't they pin all of them on him? You know what I mean?
Because they can't find the body. You don't have a body. You don't have a crime.
But if he's admitting to it, isn't that enough?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
So I would think just to get closure on the family and close those cases.
I think it's enough for... We'd have to ask John about this. But
yeah.
I think it's enough to believe him. But, I mean, if they're not open cases for it, you know, people that... there were some that the police just thought bums were killing each other.
Right.
So they closed the case, and there's no... And he's dead now. I mean, at the time, it was 30 years had passed. It was like, well, okay, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We can never prove that he did. We can't reopen a case that, you know,
right. He
admitted to. I mean, it'd just be a waste of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. Watching the documentary, he claims it was over 200. Regardless, he killed a shitload of fucking
people.
That's
a lot, yeah.
So, here's one clip with him talking about how it would kill people with cyanide.
Richard, I understand that you're an expert at the use of cyanide. How many times did you kill with it?
Quite a few.
What's the different ways you use cyanide?
You could put it in liquid form. You could... person could say, for instance, a person could be in a bar. You bunk into them, possibly by mistake, or say you were intoxicated, spill a drink on them, and leave. Everybody just looks around, thinks you were drunk, or that you just had an accident or something. And meanwhile, it's soaking through their clothes, into their pores, and into their system.
Holy shit, does that really work?
Yeah.
You dump cyanide onto their body and it
just anywhere on their body. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, if Jesus. It's in liquid form. And so they had a medical examiner, like a mortician or whatever those guys are, that do autopsies. And apparently he went back, and part of the books and shit, he went back and like looked at the results from all these autopsies, from all these murders, and he like validated that a lot of these ones that he was saying that he did were actually with cyanide, but they weren't looking for cyanide at the time because it looked like a heart attack.
Right.
So it was just like, oh, the guy had a heart attack. Like they weren't looking for cyanide, and if you're not looking for it, you won't find it.
Yeah.
So like he did that, and apparently he did that all the fucking time.
That's pretty fucking... I had no idea that that would kill somebody. I think I had to drink it or like get into your system somehow.
Apparently, that still does.
How about that?
Beginning in the spring of 1954, Kuklinski began prowling Hell's Kitchen in search of victims. According to author Philip Carlo, he came to Manhattan numerous times over the ensuing weeks and months and killed people. Always men, never a female, he says. Always someone who rubbed him the wrong way for some imagined or extremely slight reason. He shot, stabbed, and bludgeoned men to death. He left some where they dropped. He dumped some into the nearby Hudson River. Murder for Richard became sport. The New York police came to believe that the bums were attacking and killing one another, never suspecting that a full-fledged serial killer from Jersey City was coming over to Manhattan's west side for the purpose of killing people, to practice and perfect murder. Richard made the west side of Manhattan a kind of lab for murder. Kuklinski later recalled, "By now you know what I liked most was the hunt, the challenge of what the thing was. The killing for me was secondary. I got no rise as such out of it, for the most part. But the figuring it out, the challenge, the stalking, and doing it right, successfully, that excited me a lot. The greater the odds against me, the more juice I got out of it." So I have another clip of him describing his first kill. And the thing that really gets me about him and why he is so interesting is just the tone of his voice. It's just like nothing.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a fuck. And when you watch him, dude, he's just sitting there and he's smiling about it, but he doesn't... It's like you and I are sitting here bullshitting with each other. But
right.
He's talking about how he just murdered all these people and didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And so I went to the area where they said he might be, and I saw somebody who looked like him, similar to him. He had a knack for smoking, and they told me he smoked big cigars, Churchill cigars or something. So I pulled up alongside of him. At the time, I was riding a motorcycle. And I just said, "Cuban? Are they Cuban? Looks like a good cigar." And he wasn't a happy camper, because he said, "Fuck you." And I, when he said, "Fuck you," he looked my way, and I got a clear shot of his face. It was a picture I had of the man they wanted, and I said, "Nah, don't fuck me, fuck you." And I just took this weapon out and blew his head off. It just disintegrated his, like you see a pumpkin get hit with a shotgun or something, they just spread out. And that's what happened. And I light turned green about the time I shot him, and I left.
Does it give you any response in your guts to see a man's head explode?
It surprised me a lot. A response in my gut? What kind of response do you want? I don't know. I don't have any response.
So... He blew the guy's head off with a sawed-off shotgun at close range, and he just drove away like it was nothing.
Right.
So I have one more story. On the afternoon of April 29th, 1982, a guy named Hoffman met Kuklinski at a warehouse. Kuklinski leased to buy this drug Tagamet, and this guy Hoffman was a pharmacist who was going to buy this drug Tagamet, which is for stomach ulcers, and sell it through his pharmacy. He was going to buy it cheap and sell it expensive and make a shit ton of money. He leased to buy the space for $25,000, or the pharmacist wanted to buy the drugs for $25,000. After Hoffman gave him the money, Kuklinski told Hoffman that the business deal was a ruse. He placed the barrel of his gun under Hoffman's chin and shot him. Kuklinski's gun jammed, and the round did not kill Hoffman, who lay bleeding in pain. Kuklinski resorted to killing Hoffman by beating him with a tire iron. Kuklinski then placed Hoffman's corpse inside a 50-gallon drum and brazenly left the drum on the sidewalk outside a motel behind a luncheonette named Harry's Corner. Kuklinski monitored the drum for some time, sitting in Harry's Corner every day to listen for talk amongst the patrons that would indicate the corpse discovery. After the corpse remained there for what Kuklinski related as a long time, he noticed one day that the drum was no longer there, but he could not discern any details about his fate from listening to Harry's patrons. So this dead body was in this drum sitting on the sidewalk next to a restaurant for a long time.
Right.
No one said a fucking word.
Creepy.
So I have one more clip here, and this is the creepiest fucking clip. This is the one that really, really got me about this whole thing that made me so interested in him.
The Iceman had killed by gun, by knife, by Molotov cocktail, and cyanide. But he also liked to experiment.
Crossbows, I just popped a guy in the forehead with it. Actually, it was just seeing if it would work.
What was he doing at the time?
Looking at me.
Well, was he sitting down, or were you standing over him? Or?
No, he actually bent down to look in the car window like I was asking him directions. I didn't know the man.
Was this a contract murder, or was it something out of anger, or was it a personal thing?
Neither.
What was it?
I just wanted to see if this thing would work.
You mean you're experimenting on somebody?
Right.
Did it work?
It sure did. Went halfway into his head.
So he wanted to see if a crossbow would kill somebody, and he just asked some random guy for directions while he's sitting in his car.
Shot him with a crossbow.
Shot him in the face with a crossbow.
Jesus, I'm never giving directions to anybody.
Dude, it makes you really fucking scared.
Yeah.
And then so apparently he may have had some involvement with Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance. Okay. All these mob guys fucking claim they do. In April 2006, news reports surfaced that Kuklinski had confessed to author Philip Carlo that he was part of a group who kidnapped and murdered famed union boss Jimmy Hoffa. However, during the earlier HBO interview, he denied any knowledge of Hoffa's fate. Kuklinski claimed that he had only heard rumors, specifically that Hoffa had been killed, put in a barrel, placed into a Japanese car, which was compacted with other cars, and shipped overseas.
Okay.
Yeah, his brother, he's also in prison for life, for raping a 12-year-old girl, and then killed her, and then by throwing her out the window, and then he killed her dog and threw the dog out the window.
Oh, it's a good family. Good family values over there.
The guy was, I mean, he was blaming his dad because his dad would beat him in this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, dude, that happens to lots of people.
Yeah, it didn't help, but.
No, of course not, but it's just. It was really, really creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good documentary to watch. Just, I mean, just, you got to see this guy's face because he's just completely nonchalant. And he's like, yeah, I did that.
Right.
And he looks like he could easily just be your grandpa. And he had this wife and three daughters. We had no idea until he was arrested and they saw him in court. And it's like, goddamn, what about their lives?
Right.
It just, I mean, fucks everything up.
They've got to be in police protection or something, right? Witness protection?
You know, she was the wife was on this documentary.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So it's by her real name. Or something. I don't know if she changed it to, I forget if she changed it back to her maiden or she kept Kuklinski, but.
Yeah, crazy.
So anyway, I have a few news stories.
Well, we've got to, that's fine, but we're going to start getting the static shit.
Oh,
okay. You just want to, save until next week, or you want me to reset the feed, or
let me read this one. How much time do we have?
90 seconds.
Okay. Woman, 36, marries ex-husband's 74-year-old father.
Say that again?
A 36-year-old woman married her ex-husband's 74-year-old father.
Okay.
So just like the...
Slightly better, because at least they're not...
I wanted to read that, or say that one, because I had to go with your advice column question.
There's fucked up people, man.
There
What's
are.
With people?
I don't know.
There's lots of other people... Why do you have to fuck up the fam? Like,
I don't know. It's messed up.
I guess I'm a normal person.
Somewhat. So, that's it.
Yeah, all right then. Signing off for The Atomicast Show, I'm Tim.
I'm Shay. Go fuck yourself, Ohio.
For classic episodes of Atomicast, tune in to radio.atomicast.com and listen live on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Central. Excellent!